Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you for listening to the Qalam podcast. My name is Abdul Nasser Jangda, and I'm excited to announce a new learning opportunity from the comfort of your home. Here at Qalam, we strive to create opportunities for people all around the world from all walks of life to learn about Islam. One amazing program that is a part of this mission is the Seerah Intensive, an in-depth study of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Seerah Intensive is a one-of-a-kind immersive learning experience for the entire family. You receive access to great teachers, develop lifelong friendships with students of knowledge from all around the world, benefit from countless invaluable lessons, and at the end of the day, walk away with a newfound love for the best human being to ever walk this earth, bidnillahi ta'ala. This year, the Seerah Intensive will be offered exclusively online. All recordings and class materials will be provided for lifetime access for you to continue and revisit at your own pace. We will also be offering Seerah Intensive online for kids. For more information, please visit QalamIntensives.com. We hope to see you this winter to learn about the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with us. Thank you and enjoy the podcast. Bismillah walhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Welcome back to another session of Tafsir al-Qur'an, where we study the meaning of the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today, insha'Allah, we're going to be covering ayah number 144 from Surah al-Baqarah, Surah number 2, ayah number 144. As we always do, we'll begin with the recitation of the verse. I'll recite the ayah that we'll be studying today, insha'Allah. After that, I'll read the translation of the verse, and then, insha'Allah, we'll go into a further discussion about the meaning and some of the lessons and understanding that we can take from this particular ayah of the Quran. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Qad nara taqalluba wajhika fis samaa. Falanuwalliyannaka qiblatan tardaha. فَوَلِّ وَجْهَكَ شَطْرَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ وَحَيْثُ مَا كُنْتُمْ فَوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ شَطْرَهُ وَإِنَّ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ لَيَعْلَمُونَ أَنَّهُ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ وَمَا اللَّهُ بِغَافِلٍ عَمَّا يَعْمَلُونَ. The translation of the ayah, verse, surah number 2, chapter 2, ayah number 144. Many a time we have seen you, O Prophet, turn your face towards the heavens. So we are turning you towards a prayer direction that pleases you. Turn your face in the direction of the sacred mosque. Wherever you believers may be, turn your faces to it. Those who are given the scripture know with certainty that this is the truth from their Lord. God is not unaware of what they do. And inshallah, we're going to go ahead and dive into the ayah now, as we always do. I'll begin by first talking about the asbab al-nuzul, the circumstances of revelation. What was going on at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when these ayahs were revealed? Or this ayah, rather, was revealed. Secondly, we'll then talk about how it relates to the passage that it is present in, which is fairly obvious. And then thirdly, we'll go through the entire verse, word for word, and make sure that we are able to understand the full meaning of the verse and appreciate all of its meaning. And then from there, insha'Allah, we'll talk about any kind of lessons that we can take from the ayah that we are studying today, insha'Allah, bidnillah. So, to start off first and foremost with the circumstances, the context, the situation of the revelation of this particular ayah. So, when it comes to exactly what was happening and transpiring at that time, this is something that we've already talked about previously, like the hadith, the narration of Al-Bara ibn Azib radiallahu ta'ala anhu, where he says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he came to Al-Madinatul Munawwara, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam prayed in the direction of Baytul Maqdis, Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa, for the first 16 or 17 months, almost a year and a half, after which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam received the instruction from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we're going to read in the ayah today, فَوَلِّ وَجْهَكَ شَطَرَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ, that turn your face in the direction of the sacred mosque in Mecca. Along with that, however, a little more specifically about this ayah that we're studying today, ayah number 144, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, he narrates, كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا سلم من صلاته إلى بيت المقدس رفع رأسه إلى السماء. That whenever, during the time the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was praying towards Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa, the Masjid Al-Aqsa, Jerusalem, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he would get done with his prayer, when he would conclude his prayer, he was done. رَفَعَ رَأْسَهُ إِلَى السَّمَاءِ, he would raise his head up to the sky. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, answering that, you know, in a sense that longing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was demonstrating by turning his face towards the heavens after his prayer, فَلَنُوَلِّيَنَّكَ قِبْلَةً تَرْضَاهَا, that we are going to turn you in for the purposes of the direction in salah, in prayer, to a direction that will bring you great joy and great pleasure. فَوَلِّ وَجْهَكَ شَطْرَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ, turn your face towards the direction of the sacred mosque in Mecca. So now, this is the circumstances of the revelation. So we've talked about the turning of the Qibla. This entire passage here in the beginning of the second juz, still in Surah Al-Baqarah, in the middle point of Surah Al-Baqarah, if you will, deals with Tahweel Al-Qibla, the turning of the Qibla, and we've talked about it in the last couple of sessions. So I'll refer you to there. Go back and listen to the last couple of sessions and everything should add up and you should be able to understand what we're addressing. When it comes to this ayah specifically, this ayah makes specific mention of the fact that we see you turning your face towards the heavens, and we are going to turn you in your prayer for the direction of prayer. We're going to turn you in a direction that will bring you great joy and great pleasure. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands him to face towards Al-Masjid Al-Haram, the sacred mosque in Mecca, whenever he prays. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on to instruct the believers to do so as well. So that's something very specifically unique that's mentioned here. The other thing that I wanted to mention is that one of the previous verses that we studied here, سَيَقُولُ السُّفَهَاءُ مِنَ النَّاسِ, verse number 142, two verses back, that verse said that very soon the foolish people will say, what turned them away from the direction of prayer that they used to be upon? Now here in verse number 144, Allah is saying that turn and start praying now in the direction of the sacred mosque in Mecca. Turn, do no longer pray in the direction of Jerusalem, now turn and pray in the direction of Mecca. But two verses ago, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said they're going to say what turned them away from their direction in prayer. So how do we exactly understand this and reconcile this? So for that purpose, there's some interesting discussion amongst the scholars of tafsir. Imam al-Tabari, rahimahullah ta'ala, states, and Imam al-Qurtubi, rahimahullah ta'ala, also states this, and they reference Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiallahu ta'ala anhumah. They say verse number 144 was revealed before 142. Now I know in the sequence of the Quran, 142 of course comes first, then you have 144, but 144 was revealed before verse number 142. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's something that we understand, that the sequence of revelation and then the sequence that it is compiled together in varies and differs. For instance, Surah Al-Baqarah, this is the second surah of the Quran, is revealed in the Medinan period, And the very first surah revealed to the Prophet ﷺ, the very first part of the Qur'an revealed to the Prophet ﷺ was Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq, which is in the 30th juz. So the first juz is revealed in Medina, you know, 15 years later, but the very first revelation of the Qur'an is in the 30th juz. So we got no problem there. And that's why that is the dominant viewpoint amongst the scholars of tafsir. However, there is another point of view that is shared and stated by many of the scholars of tafsir. Imam al-Razi rahimahullah ta'ala mentions this as well. He says that verse number 142 was actually revealed before verse number 144. But verse number 142 is talking about as if the direction of the prayer has already turned and changed, and what the people are saying as a result of that. But they say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed that to the Prophet first, signaling to him, letting him know, informing him that indeed the direction of the prayer is going to change. The direction of the prayer will indeed change and is going to change. However, when the direction of the prayer changes, this is what the people are going to say. These are the conversations that are going to occur. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in a sense, is preparing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for the criticism and the backlash that is going to be coming, to prepare the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam beforehand and give the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, the strength, the conviction, the fortitude to be able to deal with that criticism when it does come. And not only that, but the further wisdom of this that the scholars state is that it's very profound. This is quite profound, because knowing about something occurring before it will happen allows you to be so much more prepared and be able to remain calm in the face of that criticism when it does come. So this is a little bit of a discussion about this verse, preliminary discussion about the verse and its revelation, and I thought we could talk about it here before we go further into the ayah. After discussing that, we'll now, the second thing we usually talk about is how this fits into the greater context, the sabaq and the siyaq, with the verses that come before and the verses that come after. And that context is very obvious, that this entire passage, this entire section from verse number 142, and it will go beyond as well, verse number 144, that this entire passage deals with the turning and the changing of the qibla, the direction of prayer. So now let's actually go through the ayah word for word and make sure that we understand every word within the ayah, every element of the ayah. And then inshallah, we'll conclude by taking a look at some of the lessons and some of the understanding that we can take from this verse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَدْ نَرَى قَدْ نَرَى. Right off the bat, there's two very interesting things here. First of all, you have the word قَدْ. The word قَدْ is kind of an article, it's kind of a prefix that is added to verbs in the Arabic language, all right? When it is added to present tense verbs, it creates the meaning of emphasis. It creates a meaning of emphasis. And there's plenty of examples of this all throughout the Quran, that when it comes on the past tense verb, it creates the meaning of emphasis. However, when the word qad, like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, qad aflaha al-mu'minun, qad aflaha al-mu'minun, that indeed successful are the believers. Success has been achieved by the believers. However, when you bring the word qad onto the present tense verb, which is what the word nara is, then there's a little bit of a discussion as to what it means. Some of the scholars, like Imam al-Suyuti, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says that it also creates the meaning of, it also brings the meaning of emphasis. قَدْ نَرَى. Indeed, we have seen. However, other linguists and grammarians, and in fact, the majority of the scholars of tafsir, have stated that it creates the meaning of التَّقْلِيلَ أَوْ التَّكْثِيرَ. Either it means rarely, sometimes, or it means frequently and abundantly and very regularly. And over here, it's in the meaning of regularly, frequently, كثيراً, كثيراً نرى. All right, very frequently we have seen. And that's the meaning here. Secondly, is the word نرى. Now the word نرى in the Arabic language is a present tense verb, and it means to see, we see. However, one very interesting dynamic between these two words, قد, which means often, and نرى, which is a present tense verb, which means we are seeing, when you combine قد and a present tense verb together, it can also create a past tense kind of meaning, that we have seen very frequently. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, very frequently we have seen, we have observed. We have observed. What have we observed? Allah says to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, تَقَلُّبَ وَجْهِكَ فِي السَّمَاءِ. The turning of your face towards the heavens. The turning of your face towards the sky. And what this is referring to, we had already spoken about in the circumstances of Revelation, the narration of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhumah, in which he says that the Prophet ﷺ, throughout the time that we were praying in the direction of Jerusalem, the Prophet ﷺ would conclude his prayer, and then after, إِذَا سَلَّمَ مِن صَلَاتِهِ, after he was done, he would raise his head up towards the heavens. So why was the Prophet ﷺ turning his face towards the heavens? So there's a lot of discussion about this. What does this exactly mean? What does that signify? So there's a couple of things that are mentioned here. Number one is that this is a method of almost dua, that the Prophet ﷺ was praying within his heart and turning his head, his face up to the sky, as even when we make dua according to the sunnah, the practice of the Prophet ﷺ, we spread our hands out like this. So the Prophet ﷺ turning his face towards the sky, raising his head up towards the heavens, the Prophet ﷺ, this is a kind of a dua, an appeal, a request that the Prophet ﷺ, a supplication. He was invoking the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, specifically with the longing in his heart, as mentioned by many of the scholars, for the direction of the prayer to be turned towards the sacred mosque in Mecca, Al-Masjid al-Haram, which surrounds the Kaaba, Kaabatullah, the house of God in Mecca. And so this was the Prophet ﷺ expressing this desire, this longing, this request, this supplication before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that, oh Allah, grant us this. Some of the scholars also mentioned that the Prophet ﷺ had already been told by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he had received some kind of divine direction, indication, inspiration, that the direction of the prayer would indeed be changing and turning. So now that he knew that this change of the direction of the prayer is actually coming, the Prophet ﷺ is turning his face up towards the sky after every prayer in longing and anticipation of the arrival of that command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which will turn the direction of the prayer towards the sacred mosque in Mecca. Why would the Prophet ﷺ long for this? Why did the Prophet ﷺ, desire this? Then we've talked about this already in the previous sessions, but to quickly enumerate them, number one, of course, that is the very first house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the face of the earth. إِنَّ أَوَّلَ بَيْتٍ وُضِعَ لِلنَّاسِ لَلَّذِي بِبَكَّةَ مُبَارَكًا وَهُدَى لِلْعَالَمِينَ, as the Qur'an confirms, is the very first place of worship for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the face of this earth. It is the first house of God, the first place of prayer, the first place of worship, designated place of worship. Secondly, the Prophet ﷺ is the completion and the continuation of the legacy of Ibrahim alayhi salam, millata abikum Ibrahim. The Prophet ﷺ is an answer to the dua of Ibrahim alayhi salam, and a da'wah to Abi Ibrahim. I am indeed the answer to the prayer of my forefather Abraham. Thirdly, It's also mentioned that the Prophet ﷺ, now that they were in Al-Madinatul Munawwara, where the non-Muslim community that they lived with was the Jewish community that prayed in the direction of the Western Wall, the Wailing Wall in Jerusalem as well, that the Prophet ﷺ also, he preferred this idea of their worship being distinct, that praying in a different direction than they did. Fourthly, there's also this idea mentioned by the Mufassirin, as enumerated by Imam Razi rahimahullah ta'ala, that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also felt that this would be a very powerful way of bringing Arabia together, because they all identified and grasped the sacredness of the Kaaba. And they all revered the figure of Ibrahim alayhi salam, and he knew the Kaaba as the place where Abraham had raised the foundations. يَرْفَعُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ الْقَوَاعِدَ مِنَ الْبَيْتِ, as we've studied previously. And then furthermore, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there's another benefit that I had mentioned, that this, not necessarily that this was in the mind of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but just as a benefit that also came from this, is it sent a very powerful message to the people of Mecca, the Quraysh, the powers that be at that time, that if this place is so sacred that the Muslims would worship in this direction, how long before they come to claim it? So from all these angles and all these different aspects, it was a very powerful, it was a very powerful thing to pray in the direction of the Kaaba, to have the Qibla that we all identify today. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whether he's making dua or he's anticipating the arrival of this command from Allah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was turning his face up, and that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَدْ نَرَى تَقَلُّبَ وَجْهِكَ فِي السَّمَاءِ. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, فَلَنُوَلِّيَنَّكَ قِبْلَةً تَرْضَاهَا. We are indeed going to turn you in the direction of prayer, for the purposes of the direction of prayer, we are going to turn you in a direction, tardaha, that you will approve of, that will make you happy, that will bring you great joy and great pleasure. And this is why we've talked about how the Prophet ﷺ did indeed long for this command to come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the command to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَوَلِّي وَجْهَكَ شَطْرَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ. So now turn your face. Turn your face. فَوَلِّي وَجْهَكَ, turn your face, شَطْرَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ, in the direction of the sacred mosque in Mecca. So now, just to talk about this very briefly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, turn your face towards Mecca. Now, we know that what that means for us in prayer is to turn ourselves completely, right? We just don't, like, if this is the direction of the Qibla, we do not face our body towards the side and just simply turn our head. It means to completely turn ourselves, our chest standing facing that direction, right? Towards the direction of Mecca. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, turn your face. So this is a device, a rhetorical device in the Arabic language, where ذِكْرُ الْجُزْ وَإِرَادَةُ الْكُلِّ, ذِكْرُ الْجُزْ وَإِرَادَةُ الْكُلِّ, you mention a part of something, but you intend all of it. And the reason why that is said is because in the Arabic language, the face is a very powerful expression and a symbol, and it represents someone's complete devotion, dedication, and commitment. Someone's complete devotion, dedication, and commitment. That's what it refers to. So that's the word that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses, is turn your face, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the direction of the sacred mosque in Mecca, Shatr al-Masjid al-Haram. The second word that I wanted to elaborate on very briefly is the word shatr. The word shatr in the Arabic language can mean one of two things. Number one is that it can mean half of something. right? We've all heard the very famous narration, "Atuhuru shatrul iman," all right? That cleanliness is half of faith, all right? So the word shatar can refer to half of something. However, there's a second meaning for the word shatar in the lexicon, and that is simtu shay, nahiya, jiha, simt, qibal, right? So qibal al-masjid al-haram, nahiya al-masjid al-haram, jiha al-masjid al-haram, which means the general direction of, in the general direction of. And in fact, just to confirm, even though it logically makes sense that it doesn't mean half, it means the general direction of, and that's what all the scholars of tafsir state. Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the great companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he himself also comments on this, saying, قَالَ شَطْرُهُ أَيْ قِبَلُهُ قِبَلَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ. All right, in the general direction of al-Masjid al-Haram. Now this has certain implications and ramifications, but we'll talk about that at the end of the lesson, inshaAllah. فَوَلِّ وَجْهَكَ شَطْرَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَحَيْثُ مَا كُنْتُمْ, and wherever that y'all may be, فَوَلِّ وَجْهَكَ, you, singular. And whenever it uses the you singular, it's speaking to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you, O Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, turn your face, meaning you completely turn, in the direction of the sacred mosque, al-Masjid al-Haram. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَحَيْثُ مَا كُنْتُمْ, plural. And wherever all of you, now Allah is speaking to us, the followers of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wherever you may find yourselves, wherever you may be, فَوَلُّوا, then all of you should turn, وُجُوهَكُمْ, your faces, and again here face is an expression for completely dedicating and devoting yourself to something, completely turn yourselves, شَطَرَ, in the general direction of the sacred mosque. In the general direction of the sacred mosque, go ahead, turn in that direction. All right, now something that's a little bit interesting that is discussed here by the scholars is that the scholars say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, turn in the direction of al-Masjid al-Haram, meaning pray in that direction. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling all of us, the followers of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, turn and pray in the direction of Masjid al-Haram. Is there a level of redundancy here? Is this redundant? So that's the question that they pose here, because whenever Allah tells the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to do something, isn't that by extension coming? Aren't we addressed in that by extension? Right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِدُلُوكِ الشَّمْسِ. He tells him that when the sun begins its decline, what we call dhuhr time, when the sun begins its decline, then pray. Dhuhr prayer. But Allah says it in the singular. He commands the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, pray at the time of the decline of the sun. Pray dhuhr. But Allah, we're already included within that address, so we don't need to explicitly be told as well. We understand that that also extends to us. All right? وَرَتِّلِ الْقُرْآنَ تَرْتِيلًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to recite the Qur'an very slowly and methodically and appropriately. We're already addressed by that, so we don't necessarily need to separately, exclusively be addressed. However, here, even though we would understand if Allah tells the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, pray in the direction of the sacred mosque in Mecca, al-Masjid al-Haram, that we're already addressed, we're already included. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala still says that. وَحَيْثُ مَا كُنْتُمْ فَوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ شَطْرَةً. And so the scholars explain that this is not redundancy, but there is a purpose to mentioning it more specifically. There is a purpose to that. And the purpose is that the Prophet ﷺ was in Al-Madinatul Munawwara, the city of Medina, when this command came to him. So just so that no one would misunderstand, like maybe somebody would see that from Medina, when they would pray in the direction of Mecca, Masjid al-Haram, they would face towards the south. So to make sure that later generations of Muslims, or as Muslims went abroad and went to different locations, they went to the east, they went to the west, they went even further south than Mecca, like take Yemen for example. If when Muslims go to Yemen, so that they do not get confused and think, what direction did the Prophet ﷺ pray in? Well, he prayed facing the south. So then they mistakenly think that the south is the Qibla. Then Muslims in Yemen are praying towards the south, and that would be a problem, because they're facing the opposite direction of Mecca now. So that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explicitly addresses the Muslims, the Ummah, وَحَيْثُمَا كُنْتُمْ, wherever y'all may find yourselves, north, south, east, or west, you pray in the direction of Mecca, Al-Masjid al-Haram, the sacred mosque in Mecca. So there is a benefit to mentioning that. Not only that, but in Al-Bahr al-Muhit, Abu Hayyan, rahimahullah, he mentions that what's very interesting also is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the Prophet ﷺ first, and then he mentions the Ummah. Because the Prophet ﷺ is the Imam, he is a leader, and then he addresses the Ummah. Just like when we pray the congregational prayer, the Imam goes into sujood first, Allahu Akbar. He says Allahu Akbar when he's already halfway down into the sujood. He goes into sujood first, and then we follow after the Imam. Allah told the Prophet ﷺ, you turn, and then he tells us to turn after the Prophet ﷺ. And that's something very beautiful that we see here in the eloquence of the Qur'an. So Allah says, وَحَيْثُمَا كُنْتُمْ فَوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ شَطَرًا. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِنَّ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ لَيَعْلَمُونَ أَنَّهُ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ. And those who were given the book, those who were given the scripture, this is referring to the Ahlul Kitab. So it's speaking about the Jews and the Christians. And in the context at the time of revelation, it more specifically obviously would be referring to the Jews, because they were the ones who lived in and around the city of Medina. That they know, لَيَعْلَمُونَ, they indeed know, for certain they know, أَنَّهُ أَلْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ, that this Qur'an is indeed the truth from their Lord. Because, why is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying that? And this is going to be talked about in the upcoming session as well, in the next verse as well. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically mentions that, because as soon as the Qibla was turned and changed, they immediately started back up again with their criticisms and their refutations and their objections to the Prophet ﷺ, to the Qur'an and to Islam. And basically denying it and refuting it and refusing to accept it and believe it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes back to this point. They know this is the truth from their Lord. And then Allah concludes by saying, وَمَا اللَّهُ بِغَافِلٍ عَمَّا يَعْمَلُونَ. And indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not unaware of what it is that they do. What it is that they do. Now, what's very interesting is that, as is the case, and we've talked about this previously, you have the difference of qira'at, the different modes of recitation. All right, because, and I won't go into a lot of detail here, but I've talked about this previously, that the original script and form of the Arabic language would not be written with the dots that we see today, and it was understood very intuitively. It was their language. So وَمَا اللَّهُ بِغَافِلٍ عَمَّا يَعْمَلُونَ, Allah is not unaware of what they do. Allah is addressing them, those who were given the scripture before you, the Jews and the Christians, and in this context specifically the Jews. And this statement that Allah is not unaware of what they do, meaning Allah is completely aware of what they're up to, this is a warning. This is a warning to them. And it also can refer to their accountability and their punishment. Like, when will the reckoning come? When will their accounting occur? that this could be referring to that as well, as Allah says, وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ اللَّهَ غَافِلًا عَمَّا يَعْمَلُ الظَّالِمُونَ إِنَّمَا يُؤَخِّرُهُمْ لِيَوْمٍ تَشْخَصُ فِيهِ الْأَبْصَارُ. That those who do wrong, they should not assume that God is unaware of what they do. Allah is rather delaying them to the day in which the eyes will roll up into the heads. Right? That it will be a very frightful, fearful, horrific day. The day of judgment, the day of retribution, the day of resurrection. However, it can also be understood as, وَمَا اللَّهُ بِغَافِلٍ عَمَّا تَعْمَلُونَ. Allah is not unaware of what you are doing. And that would be addressing the believers. And if it addresses the believers, then it is not condemning them. It is not warning them. It is not threatening them. Rather, it is comforting them. It is comforting them, consoling them. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, لَا يَخْفَى عَلَيَّ جِدُّكُمْ وَإِجْتِهَادُكُمْ فِي قُبُولِ الدِّينِ فَلَا أُخِلُّ بِثَوَابِكُمْ. That your commitment, your devotion, your dedication is not going unnoticed. Does not go unnoticed. Rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is completely aware of your devotion, your dedication, and your commitment to Allah, to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to the Quran, to the deen, and that is fully noted and you will be rewarded accordingly. All right? So that is the essential kind of meaning of the ayah and an understanding of the language and the words used here within this particular ayah. Now let's conclude, as we always do, by talking about some of the takeaways, some of the lessons, some of the extrapolations that we get from this particular verse. Number one, this is in the command form. فَوَلُّوا وَحَيْثُمَا كُنْتُمْ فَوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ شَطْرًا. It's the command form in the Qur'an. Being in the Qur'an makes it what we call قَطْعِ. It is absolute. It is undeniable, irrefutable, absolute. It's very explicitly stated, so the meaning is not, you know, the meaning is completely clear. There's no question about what it's saying. It's also speaking in the command form, which is very emphatic. And so based off of this, and then of course all the narrations from the Prophet ﷺ reaffirming this, reiterating this, and then you have the actions of the Prophet ﷺ demonstrating it. Therefore, there's no difference of opinion at all. It is completely agreed upon that facing in the direction of Al-Masjid Al-Haram, the sacred mosque in Mecca, is a requirement for the validity of Salah, prayer. That the ritual prayer in Islam, one of its preconditions, shurut, is to be facing in the direction of the sacred mosque in Mecca, Al-Masjid Al-Haram. All right, there's no difference of opinion about that. However, there are some exceptions, there are some concessions, there are some dispensations. For instance, if someone is in a state of fear and fright, where someone is under attack, and therefore they do not have the ability, for instance, the battlefield, and they do not have the ability to be able to turn and pray in the direction of the Kaaba, of Masjid al-Haram, of Mecca, then they can pray in whatever direction they are facing. So for instance, if someone is guarding against an attack from an enemy, and they are positioned and posted somewhere, where they are looking out that the enemy will approach from this direction, and they need to pray there where they are posted as a lookout, and the Qibla is the other direction. So if they turn, they're turning their back on the potential attack from the enemy. Then in that circumstance, in that situation, they will pray in whatever direction that they are facing because of the imminent danger. So this is referred to as halatul khawf aw al-faza. Okay. The second circumstance in which there is some concession is when a person is traveling and they would like to pray extra nawafil prayers, voluntary prayers. Not the fard obligatory prayers. For the fard obligatory prayers, they need to, if they are able to get down from that mode of transportation, like a car or a horse, then they need to stop, get down, get off that mode of transportation, and then they face in the direction of Al-Masjid al-Haram in Mecca, the sacred mosque in Mecca, and then they will pray in that direction. Okay? But if they are traveling, and if they're on a mode of transportation that they cannot get down from, like a train or a plane or something like that, then they should face, to the best of their ability, in the direction of the Kaaba and pray in that direction. However, if someone has already prayed their obligatory prayer and they want to pray nawafil, extra prayers, voluntary prayers, then they are allowed to pray on that mode of transportation, no matter what direction it is going in. And how do we know this? There's no question about its validity and permissibility, because the Prophet ﷺ was very clearly and explicitly seen doing this by numerous companions of the Prophet ﷺ. So it is a very authentic, well-established fact and ruling. So that's the very first thing that we understand. The direction of the prayer is indeed al-Masjid al-Haram in Mecca, and that is a shart, a precondition for the validity of the prayer, not something that is optional or otherwise. Number two is the issue of when we talk about facing in that direction of the Qibla, the Kaaba, for prayer, what is exactly the command? Do we have to face exactly, like very scientifically, specifically, mathematically, directly towards the Kaaba? Or are we commanded to pray in the general direction of the sacred mosque in Mecca? And what difference that makes? Well, it makes a big difference of the fact that if I'm sitting here in Dallas, Texas, do I need to figure out the exact specific degree, right? The fraction of a degree that I need to be facing in so that I'm directly, like my direction of prayer is directly going to be going all the way to the Kaaba in Mecca, or the general direction? Or is it the general direction? So the vast overwhelming majority of the scholars, which is the Ahnaf, the Malikiya, and even the later Shafi'iyya, the Hanabila, right? They are all of the opinion that it is fardul ghaibi isabu jihat al-Kaaba. That for the vast overwhelming majority of Muslims, anyone who is not there inside of the sacred mosque, anyone who is not there in al-Masjid al-Haram, if you're there in al-Masjid al-Haram and you can see the Kaaba in front of you, then you have to face directly towards the Kaaba. That everyone agrees on. Okay, but if you are outside of the sacred mosque, if you're further away, and potentially as far away as I am here in Dallas, Texas, or even further away, then in that scenario, the vast overwhelming majority of the scholars, Jumhurul Ulama wal Fuqaha, they are of the opinion that you have to face in the general direction of the Kaaba. Again, be as close and as accurate as possible. Use whatever tools are available to you. But you're commanded, you are obligated to be facing in that general direction of the sacred mosque in Mecca. All right? And how do we exactly know this? Well, we know this for a number of different reasons. Number one, the wording of the ayah itself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَوَلِّ وَجْهَكَ شَطَرْ Al-Masjid al-Haram. فَوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ شَطَرَهُ. I talked about the word shatar, and I told you I would come back to this. The word shatar means general direction. Jiha, simt, nahiya, etc. قِبَلَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ. Alright? Number two is, there's a clear statement of the Prophet ﷺ as mentioned in the books of Tirmidhi and Ibn Majah, that the Prophet of Allah ﷺ said, مَا بَيْنَ الْمَشْيَقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ قِبْلَةٌ. Because the direction of the prayer in Medina is south. So the Prophet ﷺ said, between the east and the west is our Qibla. Meaning he was facing towards the south and he said, here's the east. Because the sun rises in the east. He said, here's the west, because the sun sets in the west. And he was facing towards the south and he said, between here is our Qibla. He gave a general direction. All right. Thirdly, we even have statements of the companions, radiallahu anhum, stating this as well. Al-baytu qiblatun li ahli al-masjid. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in some narrations, he is quoted to have said, in some narrations, it's mentioned that Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma said this. Imam al-Qurtubi mentions it in his tafsir. Al-baytu qiblatun li ahli al-masjid. That if you are inside of the sacred mosque, then you have to be facing exactly towards the Kaaba. Wal-masjidu qiblatun li ahli al-haram. And if you are in the city of Mecca, you need to be facing in the direction of the sacred mosque, the mosque that is built around the Kaaba, okay? Inside of where we do tawaf. Wal haramu, and that whole Meccan territory, that area outside of the sacred mosque, that whole area, qiblatun li ahli al-ardi fi mashariqiha wa maqaribiha min ummati Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is the direction of the prayer for all the people, whether they be in the east or the west, all throughout the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, and then fourthly, they even give a fourth reason, and that is practicality. Practicality. Right? As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yuridu Allahu bikum al-yusra wa la yuridu bikum al-usra. Allah does not want obstruction and undue hardship for us. He wants facilitation and practicality for us. It would be undue hardship and impractical for us to have to specifically face down to the, you know, fraction of a degree, mathematically, the direction of the Kaaba itself. That would make it very, very difficult and impractical. And so practicality necessitates that we face in the general direction. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has talked about this, where the Prophet said, إِذَا أَمَرْتُكُمْ بِأَمْرٍ فَأْتُوا مِنْهُمَ اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. Whenever I tell you to do something, I command you to do anything, do it to the best of your ability. Alright? So the wording of the Qur'an, the clear hadith of the Prophet, the verdict of the companions and the scholars, and even just a general understanding from the Qur'an and the hadith about practicality, all of the above necessitates that we face in the general direction of the Masjid al-Haram, the sacred mosque in Mecca. Furthermore, when it comes to figuring out the direction of the prayer, that is something that is required of everyone who's going to pray. Now, if it is already predetermined and pre-established, like I go into a mosque and I know this masjid is built by Muslim people, reliable, good Muslim people, I can trust that direction of prayer and pray in that direction, right? If I grow up in a home and my father points in the direction and says, that's the Qibla, I can trust him and I can follow that, all right? And where do we get this idea from? Well, we get this idea because as Muslims started to spread and Muslim communities started to develop, what the Tabi'un, the next generation of Muslims, did is that if a Sahabi had ever come there or prayed there, they would see what direction the Sahabi prayed in, they would just start following them in that direction, all right? But if somebody is somewhere, like me, you're traveling, maybe you move into a new home or something of that sort, and you need to figure out the direction of the prayer, it is mandatory and necessary to figure it out to the best of one's ability. To the best of one's ability. Like, we know that the direction of our prayer is northeast. So whether that be just simply inquiring from someone, what direction is northeast, or getting a compass and looking, or asking someone if there is a Muslim there, what direction is the Qibla, right? But we are required to at least do some level of due diligence to understand and acquire the proper direction of the Qibla and the Kaaba, all right? And number two, that if someone makes no effort to figure out the Qibla and the Kaaba, and it turns out that they prayed in the wrong direction, they will have to repeat that prayer. If somebody deliberately prays in a completely different direction than the Qibla, that prayer is invalid for defying a conclusive qat'i command of the Qur'an. The next item is that if somebody is praying in a particular direction and they realize halfway through the prayer by somebody turning them or whatever the case may be, they realize that they're praying in the wrong direction, then what should they do? They should turn in the middle of their prayer. What the two, let's say you're praying Dhuhr, the two rak'ahs you've already prayed are valid. Whatever remains though will not be valid unless you turn in the middle of your prayer, and that turning in the prayer will not invalidate the prayer, because that literally happened in the lifetime of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The next issue that is a very, you know, straightforward issue, but I did want to mention it here because it is discussed under the premise of this verse, okay? And that is فَوَلِّي وَجْهَكَ شَطْرَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ, because it says face in the general direction of the sacred mosque in Mecca, that Imam Malik, the Maliki school, derives from this that when a person prays, they should be facing forward. That when a person prays, they should be facing forward. All right? They should face forward, look forward when they pray. Obviously not look around at different things, but they should generally be looking forward when they pray. Okay? The majority of the scholars, the Ahnaf, the Shafi'iyya, the Hanabila, right? They are of the opinion that when a person is in the standing position of the prayer, they should be looking at the place of their sujood. And then more specifically, the Hanafi school adds that when you're in ruku', then you look down at your feet. When you are in sujood, you look down at your nose. When you are in the sitting portion of prayer, then you look at, you know, where your hands are, like in front of your knees, your lap, basically. And they get this detailed information of when you're standing, look at the place of sujood. When you're in ruku', look at your feet. When you're in sujood, look at the nose. When you're sitting, look down in front of you, in front of, at your knees. They get this understanding from a very clear hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam instructed us to do so. And also there's a profound benefit in it as well, because it also looking downward and looking at something more limited, limiting kind of your scope and your what you can see, allows for better and greater concentration and focus within the prayer and within the salah. Wallahu ta'ala alam bis-sawab. So with that, inshallah, we are going to conclude today's lesson. That was the study of ayah number 144 from Surah Al-Baqarah. And inshallah, we'll continue on from here. Before I end the lesson for today, I wanted to mention something and share something with everyone. Alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah. Qalam is an organization that has been here, is here, and we pray that we'll continue to be here for the benefit of the Muslim community, the benefit of the Ummah, inshallah bi'nillah. At Qalam, we have dedicated ourselves to the mission and the cause of making the knowledge of our religion, Islam, accessible to everyone, no matter who they are, where they're at, what's going on, what kind of time or opportunity they have or do not have. Islamic knowledge should be accessible for everyone. And that's why we're coming to you, even though it's the midst of a pandemic, so many different things are going on. It's winter time. I know it's really cold some places. It's a little chilly in Dallas, but it's really cold some other places. But nonetheless, we said all of the above should not stand in the way of you learning about the meaning of the Qur'an. So we have these tafsir sessions every single week. And we have Sheikh Mikael's Purification of the Heart lessons every single Wednesday. And on the mornings, Sheikh Mikael is online reciting, you know, the morning supplications every single weekday morning. Ustad Abdurrahman is teaching the seerah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Mufti Kamani is giving his lectures on Sundays. We're going through Hizb, half a juz of the Quran in recitation and translation. We are on Thursdays, we're having the hangout. There are thousands of people who are taking our online classes. The podcast is being downloaded by millions of people. Everything we do gets recorded and put onto the Qalam podcast that can be listened to by millions of people all around the world. And the list goes on and on. And there are things more specifically that we're doing, like the 150 students, full-time students of knowledge that are studying with us at the Qalam Seminary, learning the Arabic language, learning the tafsir of the Quran, hadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the life, the seerah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, usul al-fiqh, ulum al-Qur'an, mustalah, usul al-hadith, and the list goes on and on. All of that is going on, and we do this to further the knowledge of the deen and the religion, to serve, to earn the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to serve the deen of Allah, and to benefit and help our community, our brothers and sisters all across the world. And alhamdulillah, we do all of this as a pleasure and an honor and a privilege. However, in an effort to make this as accessible as possible for everyone, we ask for your support and we ask for your partnership in this endeavor. So, alhamdulillah, as there are many campaigns running today as a part of Giving Tuesday, Qalam is also running a campaign today. I'm sharing and posting the link in the comments. So if you go and check the comments, inshallah, you'll see the link. And if you're listening to this after the fact, like on the podcast, I'll share the link with you. Please go to supportqalam.com. Go to supportqalam.com and over there at supportqalam.com, you can be a part of our mission. You can be a part of the work that we are doing. And in doing so, secure your sadaqah jariyah for yourself, for your family, for your benefit in this life and in the next. So I wanted to request everyone to go to the link, supportqalam.com, and donate there right now, inshallah. Share this link with others, with family and friends, and help us, inshallah, make this knowledge accessible to every single person all around the world. Barakallahu feekum. Jazakumullah khairan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from all of us. As always, thank you very much for tuning in. Jazakumullah khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.